Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a woman by the name of Jackie Scamwell, CEO and founder of ServiceQ in Melbourne, Australia. Jackie is an award-winning author of The Future of Services 5D, Service Happens Second Edition, and Service Mindset. She is an eminent keynote speaker, a thought leader in the field of service leadership, and is the CEO and founder of ServiceQ, a business which partners with other organizations to reimagine their service culture by developing conscious service leaders, engaged employees, and of course, loyal customers. Jackie, welcome to the podcast today.
Thanks, Ian. Great to be with you.
Thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy, and I know you're on the other side of the planet from me. As you're in Melbourne, I'm in Vancouver. So this is Monday morning for you. This is Sunday afternoon. We'll just tell our listeners. We'll come out of the closet and tell them that we're that far away. But thanks to this lovely technology, we're able to make this all happen. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're really busy. Your new book's jumping off the shelf. So on behalf of the listeners, thank you, Jackie, for being with us today. Listen, I'm always fascinated by the entrepreneurial backstory, right? Where did it all happen? Where did we get started? How did you figure out for you that service was your expertise, your domain, the place you should be?
Yeah, it's interesting how it sort of creeps up on you, right? So, my journey in service, my parents always owned their own businesses. They were in the hairdressing business, actually. So I was always, as a young girl, surrounded by, you know, mum and dad talking about running businesses and customers and staff and you know, hairdressing's pretty service orientated. But where it really began was at 14 years and 9 months, I enrolled into McDonald's. And Macca's in Australia had a pretty good reputation back in the 80s and the 90s for their training, their service culture, much like in the US and other parts of the world. And so, you know, we, I guess, you know, straight away, it was like a training ground for me, Ian, like just watching and observing humans right through my teen years into my early 20s and observing like the hoons driving through the Macca's drive-through and the elderly gentlemen coming in to eat their fillet o' fish, you know, on their own, and the kids' birthday parties on the weekend. And I was fascinated by this unpredictable nature of human beings that, you know, we are. And then that really took me quite quickly into sort of the major stadiums and large events world, where I got to travel the world and work in corporate companies, you know, in venues and stadiums like Wembley National Stadium in London and Emirates Stadium in London, then closer home here to Melbourne, the Aussie Open, the Tennis Australian Open, where I was the GM there for several years. And I think, you know, when you hit the corporate world as quickly as I did, and, you know, high achieving, ambitious young woman, I took a step back and I was like, yeah, there's more I want to give. And straight away, I realized that it was less about, you know, flipping burgers and selling French fries, and less about, you know, serving customers at stadiums and events, but it was more about this service culture. How do we get hundreds, if not thousands, of staff to be engaged, be positive, be willing to serve, in many cases, millions of customers? And 11 years ago, I decided to take the leap of faith and step outside of the secure, safe corporate world and move into running my own business, and absolutely have loved every second of it. And classic entrepreneurial, you know, love taking risks, love the variety and the change, the excitement that comes with it, and love my clients, love working with them in their different industries. So, yeah, that's a little backstory on how I found myself here today.
It's, well, congratulations. I know I'd share that kind of backstory a little bit with you in terms of corporate, and then you jump out of the plane and hope your parachute opens, right? And and then you find yourself, this is what I was meant to do. And I can totally tell that that's what it is for you, Jackie. I like what you said about a service culture, because it really, we're all in it. Every employee of a company is in an opportunity to deliver great service or terrible service. Mm-hmm. And they represent the whole company with that one little customer experience. Yeah. Right? So it is a responsibility and a wonderful opportunity mm-hmm. at the same time. And I talking about challenges and opportunities, there's, as we say, they happen every day. Your company works with, as you mentioned, a very wide variety of industries and organizations. What are some of the challenge and opportunities that they all seem to have in common in your experience?
Yeah, well, I reckon like it's really useful to for the listeners to hear that like the companies we're working with are not what you would typically think need service training or service development. You know, we're working with mining and resources companies out here in Australia. That's a big industry. Retail, aviation, you know, airlines, airports, stadiums. We're working with the automotive industry, and I think I just love the variety that these clients of ours present, but that they all have a few things in common. And I reckon there's a bit of a stigma around the word customer service. So I like to sort of remove the word customer for a moment and just talk about service culture. And you've just sort of touched on it, Ian, before, is that, you know, we're all serving each other, you know, internal customers, external customers, sales is service, you know, managing suppliers and stakeholders. And really, if you're in the business of relationships, you're in the business of service, right? So a lot of these organizations are sort of reaching tipping points, and the common challenges that they have is either their standards have dropped and, you know, the soft skills or the relational skills seem to not be quite where they used to be. And we could talk for hours about why that's the case. Some of their planned results, you know, their financial results, they're not reaching them anymore. And so there's a lot more pressure from shareholders or, you know, boards or CEOs to reach those targets. And in many cases, a lot of organizations have got less resources to reach those same targets. We're also noticing the market changing. You know, customers, consumers have higher expectations now. And I think off the back of the last 3-4 years, as the world has changed, certainly down here in Australia, we're seeing that the fabric of society has changed a lot, and people's levels of tolerance and their levels of expectations on what they get for their money, it's different. So companies are needing to innovate, they're needing to think differently, they're needing to surprise and delight differently. And you know, I don't think any of our clients are broken, so to speak, or they've got a real burning platform, but they certainly can see that they need to approach service differently. And that's exciting for me because, you know, I don't stand still for a second. So I'm always looking for ways to innovate and change and maybe look at things the way we've always done them, but through a different lens. And that really was sort of what also inspired the book that I've recently, you know, put out to the market.
That's fascinating. And you're right. I mean, these challenges that it's not just Australia, not just North America, it's everywhere. Standards can drop. And I can understand it, like looking at it from sort of the macro view that, okay, financial performance, our stock price is down, our profits a little bit. So where do you tighten the belt? Maybe you tighten it on training, which impacts the customer experience and the loss of market share. So it's all a linked chain, yeah. But it's a dangerous chain. Mm-hmm. And there can be less resources, Jackie, as you were talking about. All of us are trying to do more with less these days. Expectations have changed. Customers maybe want more than they or want a different experience. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down a little note to myself as you were speaking. Why not try and differentiate through service?
Mm.
Product can be the same or similar. It can
right.
Price can be the same. What about that experience, that customer, or just call it service experience? That can be the differentiator. That can build loyalty. That can last a lifetime if we keep anteing into it, right? I don't think that the service experience is ever one and done. I don't think you put your money down, done. Okay, now we tick that box. I think it's an ongoing journey, and I'm sure I'm curious because your most recent book, I can't wait to get my hands on it. Actually, the future of service is 5D. Already raising my eyebrows with curiosity. Why humans serve best in the digital era is written for leaders. Can you tell us why you did this, this work of art of yours. Why did you do it? What is it about the leadership landscape that inspired you to write this book, Jackie?
Yeah, well, I think just to pick up what you said before, it's a big part of why I'm obsessed about this topic and can get up every day and write about it. And that's because I think, you know, a lot of companies are grappling for this competitive advantage, but actually the thing that can really set you apart is those human-to-human interactions. And I truly believe in the digital era that we're living in now, and with all the changes that we're experiencing, the uncertainty, the volatility in business and in the world, it's never been easier to be brilliant at service because so few many companies are doing it well. So if you really want to stand out, like nail that, you know, nail those human aspects. And a large part of having a sustainable quality service culture is the leaders. The leaders need to believe it. They need to have faith in the service culture. They need to role model it. And if I was to define leadership, I would say it's really to create the conditions for your people to thrive. So if we were to start at the top of an organization and look at what are the leaders doing? What are they not doing? How well are they creating the conditions for a service culture to thrive and for those employees to feel engaged at the front line and all the way back into the back of house, you know, operational areas as well? And we've got to start there. So for me, the book, The Future of Service is 5D, is written for leaders to help them reclaim the humanness in their business. And I think we all get quite, you know, inspired and slightly obsessed about the shiny objects that AI and technology and, you know, like you said, we're doing more with less time, and like how do we keep building efficiencies into our days? And I know any busy leader who's listening to this, they can relate to that never-ending to-do list and the tasks that just never feel like they're ever getting ticked off. And yet there's this other part of leadership, which is about creating the conditions for your people to thrive. And I really wanted to put that into the spotlight and not forget that half of our job is the technical, you know, piece around numbers and capability and getting the job done. But the other half is making our people feel seen and making our people feel heard and making our people feel understood and inspired and engaged so that they take care of the customer. And 5D is reminding leaders that we humans are multifaceted. We have multi-layers to us, five dimensions, in fact. We have a physical dimension. We have a cognitive dimension, which is the brain, the mind, the faculty to pay attention and give people our presence. We have an emotional dimension, which is that we have the ability to read emotions and regulate emotions and work with that subjectivity of humans. We have a social dimension, which is a need to feel connected and feel belonging and feel that our values are aligned to our teammates and our customers. And we have a spiritual dimension, which is that us humans are constantly seeking significance and meaning. And so how do we as leaders tap into those dimensions in the ordinary moments of a day? And how do we make our customers feel that those five dimensions are also being seen and tapped into? And so that's really the essence of the book and why I wrote it for leaders, because it's tough out there. Leadership is hard, and it's even harder now amongst this digital backdrop. And I think that many leaders are sort of putting their hands up going, huh, are the ways that I used to do things going to sustain me for the next decade, or do I need to really look at the way I'm working and leading perhaps a bit differently?
I love how you framed that. And leaders, it starts with the leaders first. I think that is so significant, because if the leader says, oh yeah, that department should do a better job of this, go do that. Well, you just delegated something that's cultural and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You have to set the example yourself. And so leaders, you guys, you've got to go first. Also, like we talked about with reclaiming the humanness of their business, right? With these five dimensions. And I can't wait to read your book, Jackie. I'm not just saying that. I really can't wait. I'm inspired by everything you've just talked about. It's refreshing, in fact, because there is so much. I just recall walking into a local coffee shop. I visit my 90-year-old mom on Fridays, and I bring her a coffee and a donut every Friday. She's 90, and she's happy about that. But so you go into the coffee shop, and you look up, and they've got these beautiful big screens, menus with all the stuff. It makes it easier to figure out what you want. You can look at it. But then if you're not greeted with good human service, like, okay, well, wait a minute. Now I feel like, you know, I'm a commodity. Like, why am I even here? Like, so I think it is a great opportunity with technology like never before. But if we could put a real thin edge on that wedge of the service aspect of the business, now you got both. You got the best of both worlds going on, right? And I think that's what you're all about. And the technology is ever changing, and it's frightening. You and I have chatted before about AI, what it's doing and how spooky it can be. Is it a productivity tool? Sure. If it's in the hands of good people doing good things, I think it's a good thing. Yeah. The minute that starts to wobble or change a bit, it's a frightening thing.
Yeah.
And I know you deal with this in your work and your books as well. What are the keys you see with service these days, particularly with all of this advanced technology and the digital, the AI world that we find ourselves living in?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, too much of anything is never a good thing, right? Like, we've got to find this balance. And again, like, it's an exciting time to be alive and an exciting time for leaders to be shaping the future of their businesses, no matter how small or medium or large your business is, because you get to choose how much tech you want to bring into those touch points and how much humanness you want to bring to those touch points. So what I encourage, and I unpack this really simply in the book, is, you know, a hybrid solution where acknowledging that there are times when we humans want to be served by technology because we want the efficiencies. Like I think about my childhood days growing up, like if I went back to some of those days without the convenience and the productivity and efficiencies I have today with technology, I don't think I'd want to go back, Ian. I think I really enjoy aspects of technology today. And I love, you know, being in my mid-40s and running a company and working with clever people with all these cool tools at my fingertips. But there are also times when we want to be served by a human because we're seeking connection. And sometimes that's unconscious and sometimes that's very conscious. And I think what businesses and therefore leaders need to be thinking about as they, you know, commit to software programs and they think about the customer journey, the sales journey, when they think about all the touch points of their brand, they really need to map out, where is their technology? Where is their human? Have we striked a balance of this hybrid? And by the way, if we've got humans in those touch points serving humans, we'd better make sure they're really good at being human. Because what we're seeing is that technology is so clever and we get all this information out our fingertips and there's so much knowledge that we can get from machines. But we must remember that humans have what machines don't, and we have wisdom. We have experience. We sense things. We pick up on cues and clues. And so how do we amplify that element of us humans and embrace the technology to enable us with the knowledge and the processing and synthesizing of information? And yeah, if I was a leader listening to this, I think it's, you know, the call to action is to take a step back and go, where are our touch points? How conscious are we of tech and humans? And when the humans are presented to our customers, like you said before, you know, it only takes one human to have a bad day, and like it or not, how that customer feels about that interaction is how they feel about the brand. The human being is the company. Are we doing a good job of that? And I think, you know, technology, AI, there's a lot of stats in the book about where the future's heading. There's a lot of sort of ideas about where you can sort of dial up tech and dial it down. But let's just master our humanness. Let's master our gestures, master our senses, master the way we communicate with our bodies. Let's get really good emotional vocabulary so we can speak to people acknowledging emotions. Let's tap into some of those significant meaning elements, which taps into the spiritual dimension. Let's just be so good at being human, to your point, that customers just keep coming back because it feels different to the guy next door or the competitor next door. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so refreshing what you're talking about. I like how you framed it, and I made a note, high tech and high touch.
Yeah.
Like, find balance. Do them both well, right? And don't over tech because you don't think you can under touch. Like there's, you can strive in both of these things, right? And analyze. I like what you're talking about. Analyze all the touch points in your business. Where do the salespeople talk to them? Where do customer service talk to them? Who else talks to them in the company? Are we on the same page? Do we have some kind of playbook to suggest how, you know, how our service level, our culture should be experienced and hold ourselves accountable to that, right? That's a huge, I was thinking about, as you were talking, a couple of experiences that I have that would be an example that would demonstrate. You go to the bank and you can go to the teller and you can deposit your check and get money. I'd rather go to the human teller and go, hello, how's your day?
Yep.
And I get a chance to be greeted by a human and you get to know them after a while. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, how are you doing? You know, good to see you, Pam. Great. And you have this dialogue instead of pressing buttons and away you go. Same at the airport. You know, you and I know both fly a lot with business. I'd rather go and see a human, even if it's a bit of a wait, than sit at the machine, scan your passport, do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Human is an opportunity to differentiate. It truly is. I love what you're all about, Jackie. You're onto something massive, and the world sorely needs it. Talking about need, you're going to offer our listeners today an opportunity to learn more about how you can help them with their service leadership and service culture. Apart from, obviously, they could buy any of your books, but tell us a little bit about this offer. I'm really excited to hear about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if there is a listener today where something's just sparked, you know, from this conversation, or you've identified some, you know, opportunity to dive deeper into the touch points of your service culture, and you genuinely want to have a conversation with us, don't be afraid of the time zone. It's all good. We work around the clock here in Melbourne. But email us at hello@serviceq.co. So that's serviceq.co. And just let us know that you heard us on the Ian Selby podcast. And I would love to offer a 30-minute discovery conversation to anyone who's listening today, where we can shoot the breeze on a Zoom or on a phone call and help just do a little mini diagnostic about what parts of your service culture might need a little bit more focus, whether it's training or mentoring or something else. And I'd love to offer that 30-minute free complimentary diagnostic chat to any listeners who genuinely think they've got a need to up the ante in their service culture.
Listeners, that is a tremendous offer Jackie's just thrown at you. So please take her up on it. I hope your phone rings off the hook, by the way. Listen, before we let you go, how can our listeners also reach out to maybe get their hands on one of your books or your website? What's the right touch point?
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Ian. I really appreciate your support. Well, the book is in all good bookstores online, Amazon and Booktopia in particular. And our website, www.serviceq.co, there's also a direct link that you can go to there, and it'll send you to the book or books. And just a deep appreciation and respect for your listeners and for those who choose to go and check it out.
That's awesome. Jackie, before we let you go, on behalf of all the listeners, because you've really made a difference with what it is you're doing and continue to, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoru.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With Ian Selby.